I've noticed a common concern among some of my older students. They worry they're late to the party, they think they're too old to start something new, or fear they're too far behind to catch up. But let me tell you something straight, my friend. Age is just a number, and there's no expiration date on going for your dreams. In fact, I started my business when I was in my 40s. I launched my first online course when I was 46. And I believe that my life experience, everything that I've done and learned before and brought to the table, is a game changer. Today, I'm 53 and I'm feeling immensely grateful for my maturity, my ability to nurture both myself and my business. And with each passing year, I find myself growing wiser, tougher, feeling more vibrant. And I think we need more female role models of women in their 40s or 50s or 60s doing amazing things, living their best life, which is one of the reasons why I made this my niche. But that doesn't mean that it's always easy, like being the oldest person in the room. And it also doesn't mean that I don't want to work with younger women or think that older is better. Actually, my coach and mentor, Taylor Lee, is in her 20s, and I love her and admire her so much. I love working with her and learning from her. Taylor is a mama of three, seven-figure CEO and business mentor, host of the Fully Free podcast, and here to help you ditch following other people's way and create your fully free life and business. She started her business when she was 20 years old. I know, crazy, right? And she was hung up about her age in pretty much the same way a lot of older women are. So I invited her on the show to talk about ageism in the coaching industry, niching, the importance of money and going for your dreams, and a whole lot more. It was a really insightful conversation, and I know you're gonna love her. Hello and welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast, the show where we dive deep into the world of online businesses while navigating hot flashes and menopausal brain fog, to name just a few symptoms of being an entrepreneur in your midlife. I'm your host, Susanne Reicher, and I help coaches and service providers like you who want to build a blissful online business in their 40s, 50s, or 60s with a clear message, an aligned offer suite, and marketing strategies rooted in the heart. Hey, Taylor, welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast. I'm so excited you're here.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here and to get to have this conversation with you.
Yes, because it's going to be like a really special topic that we're going to talk about. But before we dive into age and all those things, can you maybe introduce yourself quickly? Tell us a little bit about your story. What has your journey been like? Where has it led you?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm Taylor Lee. I am a business coach, business mentor. I work with a lot of other coaches in any niche you could possibly think of, service providers and healers and the way I try to say it to people who don't like get this industry, which everyone listening to this probably does anyway, but it's like, if you sell yourself, like you are the service, you're selling your wisdom, you're selling your knowledge, whether that's on coaching or courses or masterminds, I can help you sell those. That's what I'm really good at. I've been coaching now for, this is my ninth year, which is crazy. It's gone very fast. And before I was a coach, I did done for you work. I did just about anything under the sun, scheduling people's social media posts to running ad campaigns of like 150 grand a month, like, and anywhere in between. I've done so much. And I actually started doing that while I was in college. So it was like 19, 20 when I was doing that. I started coaching at 20. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about that in this episode.
Yes, definitely. But before we dive into all that, the most foundational question, what is it about coaching that has always lit your fire?
What I really love about it is helping women see their greatness, because what I see a lot, I feel like the women I work with are like the coolest people I've ever met, right? Like they are ambitious and they also have really big hearts and they want to help people, but they also have these really big goals and want to like do something that's never been done before and make a ton of money and build a lot of success. And they want to change their family's lives and they want to change strangers' lives and they want to give back in the world. But what's interesting to me is that a lot of the time they don't even really see that. They think that they're behind and they think that they're stuck and they suck and they have shame and they just don't see their greatness. And so while I do a lot of strategic work with my mindset, my favorite thing is seeing a woman finally realize, wait, I'm actually incredible. And then when she starts owning that online, I mean, that's when the magic really starts to happen. But I like that's the biggest gift and the best part, honestly.
I love that. Yes, I have the same kind of vision. It's really about empowering women and make them realize of what is possible. We have all those opportunities today. I mean, there were other opportunities back in the day, but now building an online business, I think it's just like the most amazing thing ever. I'm so grateful for my business and for my life that I just moved to one of the most beautiful places on the planet and I can work from anywhere. And it's just a gift. Yeah.
I love that. It really is.
So I've noticed a common concern among some of my older students. And yes, so I pivoted my niche to work more with women in their 40s and 50s and 60s and beyond. And a lot of them worry they are too late to the party. They think they're too old to start something new. They fear they're too far behind to catch up. And there is a little bit of a conversation happening around that. Of course, right? So around ageism when you get older. But you started your business in your 20s. You're still in your 20s, right?
Yeah.
Which I found so interesting. So that we're like kind of on the opposite sides of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So I would like to hear your story. What's your personal experience with ageism, especially in the coaching industry, particularly when you started your business at such a young age? Have you ever dealt with negative comments or doubt from others in regards to your age? And how did you overcome that?
Well, you know, I do have one story I can share, but what I'll tell you first is that the person that was the biggest critic about my age was myself.
Yes.
And that's just the truth. Because I've had a few maybe people feel, even still, sometimes people will say things like, you know, I have clients that are all ages. I have clients that are younger than me in their early 20s, which I just love because I can relate to it. And I was there and I think that's so cool. But I also have clients in their 40s and their 50s and their 60s. And I think that that's incredible. And I think, wow, I hope that like when I'm privileged enough to be that age, like I'm reinventing myself still and I'm still growing, because I've seen a lot of people in their 40s and 50s that kind of just give up on life, it feels like. It's like, okay, I'm old, which is like, I don't even think like that age is old at all. I'm like, oh my God, you could have so much life left ahead of you. Like, yeah, think about all the versions of you that are available. Anyway, I just think it's all so beautiful. But I was a huge critic on myself. Oh, what I was going to say. Wow. I was like, I don't know where I was going with that. What I was going to say is sometimes those clients will make comments like, I'm old enough to be your mom, or, oh my God, I can't believe how young you are. But they're not saying anything bad. And maybe they do have their thoughts on it. But I've literally 9 years of coaching, I've only ever had one person say anything bad about my age, at least to me. But me, especially the first like year or two, because when I started coaching, I was 20. 20, not even in my 20s, 20. And I was so insecure about it. I literally thought about it like all day, every day as I was working. I remember my first photo shoot and maybe like clients that are older, right? In a different phase of life, maybe they do the opposite of this. I don't know. But for me, I told the photographer, I was like, I need to look older. Like that was the first thing. Like number one goal in my photo shoot is I need to look older. I like, can you imagine if in my photos for my coaching business, I actually look like I'm 20 years old? Like That would be awful. Like, I need to look older. I need to look more mature. I need to look wiser. I need to look professional. I need to look like I have my shit together. Like, that's what I told the photographer. And I went and got a blowout and I bought this like tight black dress from Marshalls. I mean, you're in a whole other side of the world. So I don't even know if you know what that store is, but anyway, and black heels. And Suzanne, you know me pretty well, where you're like, that is not Taylor's look at all. But I'm like trying to figure out how to portray something that I'm not. Instead of, it was funny because when I sold Done For You, I literally was like, oh, this is going to be perfect. I can be that like cheap young college student that's great at social media. Like, I felt like I could really embrace my age there and people would hire me because of that. Like, oh, she's young. She knows social media. Like, like that's what everybody like.
That's so true. When I was working in advertising and then suddenly they came in these young people to teach, to do like social media for our clients. I'm like, why do you think they're qualified? Just because they're young?
And we really didn't. We really weren't. I mean, some people do have that special gift, but for me, I'm like, oh, they all think that. So I might as well leverage it. And then it was such a gift because I learned it through the process. Like that, once you start getting hired, you're like, okay, now I have to figure this out and make it work. And I found my gifts through that. But coaching, it was like a whole nother story. It just was like, who's going to pay a 20-year-old for business advice, for advice on anything that makes it like no one. So I need to fake. So I never said my age. Like, not that you need to. It's not like you need to be putting your age all over the internet, but I also don't think you should feel so scared. I literally remember being on client calls and thinking, I hope they don't find out my age. Like literally thinking I had like three clients in the first like 6 months of my business. And I remember feeling like if they find out that I'm only 20, they might ask for a refund. Like they might fire me as their coach. They might be upset. And I was just making all of this up. And so I'd be on the call. I don't know. I'd like try to sit taller on the calls. Like, I don't know why, like as if that had anything to do with it. Like try to speak differently. Like, I don't know. And I remember on one call with a client, I don't know her age, but if I had to guess, I'd say she was probably in her young 30s. Like, and I remember her going, some type of story. And she was like, she must be like, she was telling me about someone that she met. She's like, she must be about your age. Like, what are you, 20 something? And I was like, yes, 20 something. Like, I was like, oh my God, don't ask my age. Don't ask my age. Don't, like, I was literally terrified. I felt like my heart stopped. I don't know. I guess it's just a society thing. Like when I tell all these stories, I'm like, oh, this sounds so silly and ridiculous. Cause I really don't feel that way anymore. But it was like one of my top like hangups, probably my whole first year, maybe two of business.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. It's definitely, I feel it's the pressure that society puts on us and what we see as normal. What we see is like normal, what other people are doing. For me, it was more like, especially when I started my business and I was in Bali and everybody was younger around me. Everybody was in their 20s and 30s, maybe early 40s. And so, it was, and they didn't see me as differently. But of course, I had my own stories that I told myself that I'm older and it's not like, of course, a client doesn't mind working with me because of my age. I've never really worried about that. But it's more being a part of that entrepreneurial community when everybody around you seems to be like a lot younger and they have that high energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you're like, I just want to go home and sleep and not go out and party. And so you feel like there's this disconnect. But yeah, it's just like, you know, like the older you get or the longer you do this and the more confidence you build, it's just like, you know, like, and now, especially that I'm so open with my age and I post it all the time, it's freeing. It's just like freeing to really free yourself of that. Yeah. And I guess like for you with like over the years, you gain so much wisdom and experience and results for you and for your clients. So that must have helped.
Yeah, at a certain point, which that reminds me of a good story of like what really just helped me get over that fear and shame of people finding out. But yeah, of course, over time, I mean, even like when I started coaching because I had client results in my Done For You work, I started hitting a point in Done For You where I was like, I felt people were, I was being underpaid for my knowledge and my gifts, but I was being overpaid for what I was doing for them. I remember running these amazing, like I had clients, like we would spend $100,000 in Facebook ads, which is a lot of money, right? It takes someone skilled to do that, but they would make like $1 million from that. Like that's insane. So the strategic piece of it, I was like, I'm being underpaid. But the Done For You side of it, where what was I really doing? I was inside Facebook ads clicking. Like I remember I'm 20 years old and I'm like, I literally have carpal tunnel from clicking in Facebook ads all day. Like they were underpaying me, overpaying me all at the same time. I'm like, they could pay someone else to click the buttons in Facebook ads. Like that part's not hard. I could be using this knowledge and these gifts to help other women who want to be doing this. Or even on a significantly smaller scale, doing this would actually absolutely change their lives. So it's like I had no choice. I had to move into coaching. Obviously, I wanted to, and I was so excited to, but it was like, it just made sense. So really from the get-go, I should have owned my results and my wisdom. And you don't have to be 40 or 50 or whatever to have wisdom. It's just going to be different wisdom. And I think that's the thing. And I think most people actually are here where I think we can respect everybody's unique wisdom and experiences they bring to the table, regardless of their age, because I've probably experienced things that you've never experienced, but you've definitely experienced so many things that I haven't experienced that I can also learn from and look forward to and be inspired by, and vice versa. But, you know, I love what you said where you shared, like starting to share your age publicly was so freeing. That's what it's been for me. So I went from hiding my age, not wanting to be found out. My clients are going to fire me if they find out I'm only 20, which was just literally a weird made up story I completely made up, to publicly sharing my age. And it was just like one day I just kind of, I didn't like announce it like, world, I need you to know. And I didn't do this until I was like 21. So it was like over a year of coaching where I was like, okay, no, I can't do this anymore. I'm like, I think it was my 21st birthday post. And I wrote, it was my 21st birthday. Like I didn't want to say it, but I kind of did. I was tired of hiding it. And so I just put it out there. And I remember people being like, so blown away. Like what? This still happens to me where clients will be like, you're only 28, about to be 29. Like what? And I'm like, oh, like it doesn't, I'm like, oh yeah, you didn't know that. I feel like everybody knows that. Of course, not everybody knows your age. Probably nobody really knows. Like it's an, you know, anyway. So I just put it out there. And it was funny because I had a few years where then my whole business became about that, you know, kind of like niching down into midlife. I niched down into like millennials and 20 somethings. And I loved it. And I felt really fulfilled by it, except for the fact that there was always those women that really resonated with me that were like, it's okay if you don't want me in your Facebook group. I know I'm like 45 and so old. And I'm like, no, like I'm like, I had no idea. I don't care how old you are. Like you're 45. I don't know. You could be like 29. You're gorgeous. Like, come on in. But also it doesn't matter even if you weren't and you looked 55, but you know what I mean? It's just like, I let go of that niche just because I'm like, honestly, I want to work with women who are just incredible at what they do. And I want to help them change their lives with it. I just realized that working with women that were in their 20s wasn't actually my passion. But I'm so glad I had that phase because it was that like coming out and just finally releasing it. And there's been so many things that's kind of my like thing is if I start feeling shame about something or like I don't want to be found out, I just share it. And you've seen me do this with like certain launches or things that haven't worked where I'm like, yeah, actually nobody bought that. Like just stop hiding things. It's when you're hiding it that it just weighs on you. It's such like this energetic drain. And if that's your age, whether you're listening to this and you're 20 or whether you're listening to this and you're 75, just put your age out there. Just, you don't need to, but just do it. Like set yourself free of it.
Yes, I love that. And it's, Yeah, just be like a role model for women of any age. We need to have more strong woman role models of any age. That's why I decided that was like a big factor in why I pivoted my niche, because I feel we need more role models of women doing amazing things in their 50s and not just talk about menopause, because that seems to be like the single niche and that can't be it. Right?
That can't be the only topic.
It can't be the only thing in our life to worry about. And so, no, so, but also at the same time, yes, I don't want to be excluding people. Yeah. I think that's also been like always a little bit the thing about niching. It can become very, you know, clicky. So I only work with religious white women in their 40s or something. And I'm always like, oh, that's so weird. And at the same time, the majority of coaches, they look like they are white women, successful, privileged. And when there is a coach who maybe wears a headscarf or is really young, it stands out. She stands out.
Yeah.
And yeah, we need to see more of that. Or the same with women of colors or of different nationalities.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with you, because I think that there's something, it's interesting because I can be me and look how I look and have my unique things and also the things about me that maybe aren't unique at all, right? Like being a young white girl that's a coach that makes a ton of money, right? It's kind of like the stereotype, I feel like. But people see different things in me. So it's like, it doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter like your nationality. It doesn't matter your religion. However, I also do think that we also need someone we can see ourselves in, whatever that is. And for me, there's all different little elements of my life. Like, it's like, I have a mentor that has no kids, but it's also really helpful to, because I do have three young kids. That's a very unique situation. Running a business, being the breadwinner, it's like, totally, I can learn from people who don't have that. And I do, but it's also really special when you find someone who does, or I don't know, different things about your relationship that might be unique, or the way that you live that might be unique, or yeah, the color of your skin, like it's the, your age or where you live in the world. I mean, I see that a lot too, or I have so many incredible clients that, well, like you, I don't know if you've ever felt like this, but that have an accent or English isn't their first language and they get insecure about that. And I'm like, if you only knew, like us Americans that barely even know English, even though that's our only language, we love the accents.
Yeah, I was like hung up by that for so long.
So yeah. I really feel like any client that I've had that has a beautiful accent and knows multiple languages, they feel like it makes them sound less smart. And I don't think, I'm like, no, I don't think so at all. But I could tell you that all day, but it's really helpful when you find somebody that's from that same area of the world that you are, or speaks those same languages you do, or has a similar accent to you, that goes first. But also, that's the thing is, easier said than done, but sometimes you have to be the one that goes first, even with niches, right? I have this one client, one of my like favorite success stories. Her name's Gianna and she's a relationship coach. And there's all type, just like with anyone, there's so many unique pieces of her, but it's like, she wanted to charge these really high ticket rates for relationship and love coaching. And it's like, well, who else? First of all, yes, there are other relationship and love coaches charging these high rates. But also sometimes you have to be the one to go first. If you don't see them, where are they? If you have to, if it's not popular, it's like, but if you got to trust the desires on your heart and be the one. So if you're listening to this and you're in any type of like minority group, whether we're talking, you're a relationship coach that wants to charge high ticket, or you're, it makes me think of another one of my clients, Ken's, who's in Egypt, who has this amazing freaking story about like, you know, just being a woman there and running her business and making amazing money. And it's not the norm in her culture where she's from, but she did it anyway, even when she didn't have a lot of support. I'm like, yes, someone had to go first. So no matter what applies to you, it's like, go first. Or if you're just a little insecure because you're 20 years old, or you're a little insecure because you're 65 years old, it's like, find, I hope that you can find a role model, because it's so helpful. But I also hope that you can find the bravery within you to go first and be the role model as well. You know what I mean?
Yes, I love that.
And that's what you're doing. And I love that.
For you, when you started, how did your family react? Because that's always such a big topic for a lot of people. I still have that my friends and family, they have no idea what I'm really doing.
Well, what was nice about starting my business when I was young was I was in that, I think, kind of typical rebellious phase.
So nobody had any expectations of you.
I wasn't really talking to my parents. You know what I mean? I was like, I graduated college. I literally left Florida, which is where I was from, and went to school the next day without telling them and moved across the country in my car with everything that I could fit from my dorm. Like my whole car, you maybe have seen it before. Maybe you've been that person. Your car is like full to the brim with things. And that's what I did. And so that didn't last long. Now I'm really close to my parents. I talk to them all the time and I'm really glad to have that relationship, of course. But I think a lot of 18 to young 20 somethings do go through that phase where you're like, you don't like your parents. You want nothing to do with them. You run away or you try to get as far away from them as you can. And so not that they weren't following me or seeing my stuff or even not. Both of my parents have had comments about many of my decisions in my life. But I was like, I don't care. And even like, you know, my extended family, anyway, I was in that phase where I like didn't, that those were the last people on my mind was my family. Very grateful that's not the case anymore. But I do think that actually helped me because I wasn't thinking about that at all, what my family was thinking.
And what about your friends? Because that's like a big part of your life when you are like in your early 20s.
Well, awesome. I didn't have many friends.
You've just been like focused.
It was just me and my business. No, I will tell you where I had the hardest time was with my boyfriend, who is now my husband, who totally thought I was crazy. And I think you hear these like typical like power couple conversations where it's like you're both entrepreneurs and you both do the exact same thing. And of course, he makes way more money than you, but like you're both in a power couple relationship. Like, that's not really what we had going on. He had a normal, successful job that was doing really well. I had this like delusional dream of being a coach and making a ton of money. And he thought I was in la la land because, quite frankly, I was in la la land and I liked it. And it's what got me to where I am. But yeah, that was, you know, I took a hard moment in my life of like, literally, I had no friends. Like I was not talked. There was nobody that I talked to besides my boyfriend. I didn't live by any family. I was not talking to any of my family. So I poured all of my energy into my business. And that is another reason why sounds like a little bit of like a codependent relationship with my business or something. But that is a reason why I love my business so much too, is my business has been an outlet for me through a lot of hard times and a lot of lonely times. And it's so crazy to say that because now it's like I have my best friend Maria that I've met five years into my business or something, actually, maybe 4 or 5 years. And that was really like the first like friendship I even like had since starting my business. Like I went like 4 or 5 years with like no friendship, no community, like just the online space and my Facebook group was my community. But what's really cool is then I was starting to reconnect with friends from high school and friends from college and actually talk to them again and connect with them. I don't know. I just went through a phase where I shut everyone out, built my business, did my own thing, and then finally, thankfully, opened back up to
interesting
relationships. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of culture that happened in the pandemic.
Yeah.
Whereas the pandemic was like, new things every month and everybody was spending all day long in front of their computer. So I did. I got a camper van and went traveling. So I never had really that phase where I was working like crazy. I had that when I was working in advertising. When I was working in advertising agencies and had like 60-hour weeks, 70-hour weeks, and I hated that, how it was taking over my life. There are many parts of it that I really liked, like working in a team, the creativity, and working with really amazing designers and copywriters and clients, but not how it was taking over my life. And I didn't have time for anything like a relationship or traveling or so. So it was really only changed when I became self-employed. So I started freelancing and then I went on longer trips because I really, really always loved traveling. And then I went to Bali for a yoga teacher training when I was in my 40s and started my business because I wanted to move there. And I just had to find some way to make a living in the Western world while living in Bali. So I discovered online courses.
Yeah.
And that's how I started. So I didn't start with coaching. I did like a little bit of website design and things, but I launched my first online course at the end of 2016.
Wow.
And then I was just like playing, and then I was still freelancing and making really good money doing that. So I was always like spending like 6 months in Germany working in advertising and then going back to Bali to work on my business. And until 2019 when I, just like went full time in my business, basically.
I love that. I think that's what's so cool about people's stories is like, outside looking in, it's like, oh, two coaches that have built like seven figure, whatever businesses. But everyone's story is so different. And there's also like always, this is what I see with my clients too, like both ways. Like my clients will just end up telling me something like, oh, I didn't know that about you. But the same thing will happen where I'll tell them like, oh yeah, I've been there. I remember this. And they're like, I had no clue. Anyway, so that's why I'm so excited to do this podcast with you and share these stories, because whether it's they hear a part in mine or they hear a part in yours where they're like, oh, that's me. That's just so cool to me. And that's exactly what I mean. Like we can be role models and examples for like, oh my gosh, every little detail of you is an opportunity to inspire someone and have someone see themselves in you, which is so cool. So I love that our stories are so different, but we've also been in the online space for kind of a similar amount of time, which is cool too.
Yes, exactly. And that there are so many different journeys to get there. And it would be easy for me to say, oh my God, she's been so much more successful a lot faster. And I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I have those thoughts in the past. Yeah. Also with people who started at the same time and suddenly they just like boomed.
It's so hard not to. Like
it's
I
so hard
too.
Not
There's
to.
Always someone who's faster.
Yeah. But no, it really helps that I'm so happy with my life and I'm just like really trusting my divine timeline. And you know, like even if I don't have a seven-figure business, I love my life. I have everything that I need. So there's nothing missing really. It's reminding yourself of that I also know, I mean, over the years, you know, you've seen entrepreneurs getting burnout, stopping. And I think who said that? Mariah said that. I think you can't out-earn your problems.
No. Right?
So it's never only about the revenue, the money. And I feel that's something that maybe it's a little bit easier to bring to the table when you have that life experience and, you know, like you've done those crazy things back in the day to be a little bit tougher and to feel like a little bit like more calm about things. So I don't have to do everything anymore. I mean, I did a ton of mistakes in my business, obviously, but it's just like I don't get stressed out about it so much.
Good. That's what I see. Like I work with hundreds of women a year in different levels of proximity and access, of course, but that's exactly what I was saying in the beginning. It's like, I meet women that are so incredible. Everybody that buys from me is, and even like follow, it's like, if you follow me and you buy, like you're just, there's something about you that's different and special and unique and awesome and incredible. And I could just go on and on, but yeah, it's very, what I've learned, and I really started realizing this like late last year. Yes, I was like, wait, yeah, really only just late last year. I'll tell you, I went to Goodwill with my sister. This is like literally a few months ago.
What is Goodwill? It's kind of a store.
It's a thrift store.
Ah, okay, yeah.
So you donate your stuff and then you can buy it. My sister does thrifting and then she resells. So she like, it's really cool. Anyway, That's her business. So I went thrifting with her, and there's this guy that works there. So this man's job, and he had to be in his 40s-ish, give or take. So he's not super young. And that's his job, is working at Goodwill, the thrift store. I just feel like, I don't know about where you live, but here, which I understand because people are incredibly underpaid and there's not a lot of resources for, like, I mean, there's so many things still, like healthcare still. I get healthcare bills and insurance, and I'm like, how do people survive? Because it feels like a lot to me. I'm like, I don't know how somebody that works at Goodwill could possibly be financially managing life. But my point in this is I'm a big eavesdropper. That's like, my mom says, she's like, you've literally been an eavesdropper since you were a baby. Like nothing, my whole childhood, I never wanted to play with kids. I wanted to sit and listen to the adults. And I just wanted to hear what they were saying. I love eavesdrop. I still do. I can go sit in a coffee shop and just eavesdrop. Anyway, so I'm eavesdropping at Goodwill. And this guy that works at Goodwill is just going on and on to his coworker, just like how much he missed work. Well, he had like a holiday break or whatever, and he missed work, and he loves coming into work, and he loves meeting people and seeing all the things. And then we went to a crystal shop, and this woman owns the crystal shop. And she's going on and on, like, you know, she's like walking us around and showing us her stuff. And she wasn't selling. She was like, she's saying stuff like, I'm so grateful to have this building. I'm so grateful I found this building here. I'm so grateful to live here. And I'm so grateful I get to like come to work and then I can go like the building is like right across the street from the beach. She's like, I literally walk to the beach and my daughter's amazing. And she's just like boasting about her life and her work and her building for her crystal shop. And the guy at Goodwill is just like boasting about how much he loves his life and his work. And that was like a really powerful moment for me because I had built, actually this was probably in the end of 2022. I knew I had my years mixed up. I was hitting a point where I was like, I'm making more money than I've ever made, $1 million a year. And I'm kind of not super happy. And I'm really confused and conflicted. And it was that energy of like, no matter how much I had created, I still felt like it wasn't enough. And there was people going faster than me. And there was people making more than me. And then also people felt like that about me, but I still didn't feel good enough. But then you can go out into the real world where people are making that guy, how much could that guy at Goodwill possibly be making? Like in Florida, maybe $13 an hour. Like, come on, like not much. And it didn't matter. Like he was happy. And that's what 2023 was about for me. I took a big revenue dip. Like I made half of what I made the year before. I was so much happier. And I want to be clear. I don't think I was happier because I made less money. I was happier because the money didn't actually matter. And I really spent the year just being like, I want to be so happy with who I am. And exactly what you were saying. And I love that about you. And I admire that about you because I don't know how it feels to you, but it's an intentional practice for most people to love their life and accept who they are and be okay with their timeline. And what is the point of a life if you can't feel like that? Like it's sad. It's just a waste. It's such a waste of your life to never feel enough and always feel behind and never just get to be present in your life. Cause you always have to think about the next win and the next money milestone. And you know, I'm all about making money and crossing milestones and like,
yeah, me
you know,
too. I mean, I still have ambitious goals, right? So, you know, about
but you
my
can be happy at the
midlife
same time.
Millionaire project plan.
Yes.
Yes, but you can still be happy. With a lot of my clients and probably also listeners of the podcast is because I started working with yoga teachers. They're a little bit stuck on the opposite end that money is bad. Making money is bad. They kind of probably get used to being a little bit underpaid. As a yoga teacher, you don't really earn a lot of money.
Yeah.
So you don't even think about charging $3,000 or more for a program. So there's a lot of work that I have to do with them to help them get there, that this is possible, that this is their right, that this is going to make everything easier for them, especially when you get started. It took years for me to learn that I'm not getting anywhere selling like low priced online courses. And I did that for years. I mean, I got to six figures with it, but yeah.
You know, people feel so weird about money, but it's just this made up thing. It's just energy. It's just, it's only bad if it's in the hands of somebody that's bad. And it's really, really good when it's in the hands of somebody that's good. And Yeah, I just think it's really cool what you can do with money if you let yourself have it. And nothing beats being good with who you are and being good with your life.
Yeah, definitely.
And dare I say that that might be harder to achieve than money. Just being happy. So anyway, when you just say like, I love my life and I have my life, I'm like, oh, I just wish every woman could feel like that. Like every human could feel like that.
And maybe I'll go through phases, right? Yes. We all go through times where it's tough. I think that's just part of our human existence.
Yeah, so, for sure.
But overall, I always manage to be pretty happy.
I love it.
So let's finish with a little bit more actionable or strategic advice. So what advice would you give to aspiring coaches who may be concerned about facing challenges related to age, or as well as other factors such as race or gender or religion or sexual orientation in their career? Where would you start
I want to preface this with saying this might not be the perfect advice for everyone listening. So definitely like feel into where you're at. But if you're in the place where you're just, you want to go big and you want to grow this business and you're just tired of this thing holding you back and being a piece of shame or discouragement from you, truly, like I already mentioned this, but as a piece of action item for you, a piece of homework, I think out yourself, like put it out there. And it can be a vulnerable post where you just publicly share, like, this is something that gets to me sometimes. This is something I'm insecure about, but I'm done hiding it. It could be that kind of post, or you can just slide it into a post. Like with my age, I'm like, oh my gosh, happy birthday to me, 21st birthday. Like I'm so proud of myself for achieving all of these things. And I'm so excited for this next year ahead and whatever. I don't remember the exact post, but I just like slid it in there. It wasn't really a vulnerable post, but I've done a lot of vulnerable posts with different things that I felt, you know, a little shame and discomfort with, and like I was hiding. Like I just, you know, my podcast is called Fully Free. And so I think these like three pieces of freedom, like financial freedom, time freedom, but emotional freedom, which a big part of that to me is being fully expressed. So that's the homework I would give, is whatever the thing is you're hiding or you're insecure about, you have shame about, put it out there, write a post about it. And I think it's going to bring the perfect people into your community that love it about you and even see it as your most valuable asset, which is just like, oh, so freeing. And you're going to feel 100 pounds lighter when you do it.
100%. Yeah. I feel like every time that I shared something more vulnerable, it really paid back so much. I got more feedback. I got comments. People replied to my email. And then I felt seen and heard.
Yeah.
And there's that beautiful connection, right? Because sometimes it can also feel lonely, like you're sitting there putting things out into the world and it seems like nobody is really listening
or
knowing that you exist.
Exactly.
So it's just like owning who you are, making that a part of your brand, your business. I think especially today, really essential. Like people are craving that authenticity. I mean, that's what attracted me to you, right? I didn't care about your age. It was just like that whole picture, basically.
I love it. I mean, it's so true. And those are the clients I want. Like, that's what I'm like, I don't want clients where I don't want them to find something out about me, or like they like me for my skills and my knowledge, but they don't like that I'm so young, or they don't like that I'm don't always have perfect grammar, like whatever the thing could be, right? It's like, I just want clients that can accept me for me, but you can't expect other people to accept you for who you are if you're not accepting you for who you are and letting it be seen. So that's why that's the piece of action that comes to mind. So
yeah, that's also like accepting that you are the leader, basically.
Yeah.
You lead, others follow.
Yes.
I love it. So thank you so much. I think that really sums it up. Is there anything else you wish I would have asked or that you want to share?
That's a big question, Suzanne.
Sorry, I want to put you on the spot.
No, I think that this conversation was really good, and I am so grateful that you invited me on, and I really appreciate just the real conversation and talking about something fresh and different. So that's all I have to say is thank you. And I hope that no matter who's listening, this was helpful for them somehow. That's all I can hope for.
100% it will be. So where can people go to learn more about you?
So like I mentioned, I have my podcast. So if you love listening to podcasts, since you're listening to this one, mine is called Fully Free with Taylor Lee. You can just search Fully Free and it will pop up whether you're on Apple or Spotify. It's on some other ones too, but it's definitely on Apple and Spotify. And the other really great place to hang out is Instagram. So that's @_TheTaylorLee. That's where I keep everybody updated on anything going on, free events, programs, et cetera. So I'd love to have you guys there if you feel connected and pulled to.
Yeah, and I'll add it to the show notes, of course. So thank you so much for taking the time, Taylor. I really, really appreciate it. I loved our conversation, and I'm sure it's going to be really inspiring and empowering to a lot of women.
Thank you.